Okay. So you all built the snowman? Snow persons. Okay, so hey, I have a question for you. My name is Chaim Malinowitz. Shalom Aleichem. Those who don't know me so well call me Rabbi Chaim Malinowitz. So I have a question for you, and we'll have a show of hands. This class, call it this lecture, Hashkafa Shir, Chayvus Halvada Shir. So there's two possibilities. And I would like to know how you understand it. One possibility is that I'm teaching you a book. There's a Sefer, and I'm teaching you the Sefer. That's the course. The course is Chayvus Halvadas, and I'm teaching you the Sefer. It's a class. You're learning the Sefer. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that this is a Hashkafa class, and I'm giving you Musar, Hashkafa, Derech HaChaim, and it's based on the Sefer Chayvus Halvadas. It's not my own. It's not the Mesillas Yesharim. It's not the Orchas Tzaddikim. But it's the Chayvus Halvadas, but it's a Hashkafa class. It's a Hashkafa lecture. I'm not teaching you the Sefer. You understand the difference? Okay, how many understand this as teaching you the Sefer called Chayvus Halvadas? There's no right or wrong answer. It's okay, don't be scared. There's no right or wrong answer. I'm just asking you how you understand the difference. I don't know, I'm talking to big girls here. You understand the difference? Right? No?
Yeah.
Okay, so how many of you understand it that I'm teaching you a Sefer called Chayvus Halvadas? And how many of you understand it that I'm giving you a Hashkafa, and it's based on the Sefer Chayvus Halvadas? You're trying to make me feel good because you think that's the right answer. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Now, here's the nafkamina. I could think of two nafkaminas. I'm giving now a shir, a regular Gemara shir. Right? So there's two nafkaminas. If I'm teaching you a Sefer called Chayvus Halvadas, then there should be tests, right? If it's a Hashkafa, and I'm giving you over a Hashkafa, so you don't give a test on a Hashkafa, right? You can integrate it into your life, or you could choose not. You can choose to ignore it. You can choose to use it. But it's not like the idea of a test wouldn't be appropriate. But if it's a class, and I'm teaching you the Sefer Chayvus Halvadas, then there should be tests. Right? You hear? You agree?
Yeah.
Good nafkamina. Now there's another nafkamina. If I'm teaching you the Sefer called Chayvus Halvadas, so we could take a break for a month. Because, right, we got up to chapter 1 and chapter 2. And what's the difference? So we take a break for a month. And then we can continue with chapter 3. There's no difference about a break. Just like if you have a math book, so you learn up till here. And then whenever you continue, you continue. So here also, if I'm teaching you the Sefer called Chayvus Halvadas, so then it doesn't matter if there's a long break. But if it's a Hashkafa class, if it's I'm giving you over something, then if there's a long break, right, obviously the effects of what I'm giving over has to be lost if we have a break for a month, right? You agree with that? So now we have a kasha. Manavshach it's called. Right? Everybody go like this. Manavshach. I don't give tests, but we had a break for a month. So what's the pshat? Right? It's good kasha? You hear the kasha? What's the pshat? So, manavshach. If I'm teaching you the Sefer Chayvus Halvadas, then there should be, then it's okay that we had a break. Then it's okay that we had a break. But then there should be tests. But if it's a Hashkafa class, it just happens to be based on this particular Sefer that we've chosen to give over that Hashkafa, so then Ein Chanami, there's no tests. But then what's the pshat? There's a break. Okay, so who wants to hear a teretz? The teretz is that there's a difference in perspective. Mitzidi, from my perspective, I'm giving you over a Hashkafa. I would never come to teach a class in the Sefer Chayvus Halvadas. Chayvus Halvadas is not a book that you teach. I wouldn't do that. So that's why I didn't make up any tests. Because Mitzidi, from my perspective, I didn't make up any tests. And that's why I came 2 weeks ago, because I don't want such a long break. That's Mitzidi. But Mitzad you, you look at it probably that you're learning a book called a Sefer. No, not a book, but you're learning a Sefer called, So really you would have a test, except I didn't make up a test, because mitzidi, I'm not doing that. But mitzidchem, it's okay to have a break. What's the difference? You're just going further in the chapter. So there's a difference in perspective here. But since I saw the vote, I was shocked by the vote of 5 minutes ago. So now we're on the same page. So now we have to come back, and you could breathe easy. There won't be any tests, because we all agree that it's not a class in the subject called Chovos Halvavos, and that's why there's no tests. If there's no tests, that's why girls could sit and talk and not take notes or just schmooze or space out, because there's no tests. But we're going to learn in today's shiur why it's a higher madrega, a much higher level of understanding, a much higher level of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Torah and to mitzvahs and to Chovos Halvavos, if you're not under the gun of a test and you're not under the gun of learning the subject matter, but you just relax and sit back and listen and maybe even, you know, bond with what's being taught and integrate it and internalize it, and there's not shayach a test on that. That's a much higher level of knowledge than book knowledge on which you're tested. Now that's what's going to be the subject of today's shiur. So, and it's Hashem. So, let's start. And now we have to start at the beginning, because since we voted, I saw you trying to make me feel good that we're not learning the subject matter called Chovos Halvavos, but we're having a Hashkafa class that happens to be based on the Sefer Chovos Halvavos. So we have to go back sort of and come back so that the Chovos Halvavos is very structured. He builds one thing on top of another, because he wants us to live what he's saying. So it's a progression, it's a structure, it's very, very structured Sefer. And therefore, we have to just make a quick chazara, because it'll be, just to bring us back to where we're holding. So in the psicha, in the hakdama to the Shar Avodas Elokim, he talked about that everything. Chovos Halvavos is very structured. I want you to understand what it means, structured. It means if you don't have the foundation, then nothing else really makes sense. Everything flows from the yesod. Just like if certain types of learning teach you that you build up the foundation and then everything flows from that foundation. So here also the Chovos Halvavos is extremely structured in that sense, that he puts down a yesod, he puts down a foundation, and then he builds and builds on top of that, and on top of the first floor comes the second floor, and everything follows and everything flows, and really it's seamless, S-E-A-M-L-E-S-S, it's seamless, and really the whole Sefer is structured in that way, with Shar HaYichud and Shar HaBechina and Shar HaBitachon, Shar Avodas Elokim and then Shar HaBitachon. It's really everything is a progression, and it moves on. And if you step back sort of and can appreciate what he's doing, you really see that. If you don't just study every page or every chapter, you step back and you see how he's creating really the way a person should live. So in the Psicha to Shar Avodas Elokim, he puts down the yesod that Avodas Elokim is based on Hakaras HaTov, that we should really be thinking about everything that Hashem does for us, everything, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. And the Hakaras HaTov is doubled, quadrupled, intensified, because it's totally altruistic, and he gives us a list of different tovos that different relationships engender. But he shows that there's always some angle of self-interest. And with Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's obviously no angle at all of any self-interest whatsoever. So besides everything that he does for us, that he created us and gives us life, but it's totally, totally altruistic, so that increases the Hakaras HaTov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. That's another aspect of the Hakaras HaTov. Not only everything, and not only is it totally altruistic, but Hashem is so far removed from our mundane, silly lives that the only way we can conceive of it is, right, the king is traveling by. Even this marshal is really it's so not a good marshal, but it's the closest we can come to conceiving of it, is if like a king is passing by in his carriage and sees a dirty, smelly bum on a park bench, a homeless person sleeping with rags and newspapers stuffed in his sleeves, and he reeks and he stinks and there's a stench, and he hasn't eaten in a week, and the king takes an interest in him, and he takes him and he bathes him and he gives him everything he needs. That's unbelievable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is so kadosh, 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 removed from us, that that's a HaKaras HaTov angle in itself, that he's Ramal Kol Goyim Hashem. And I had a woman ask me in my shul, I was learning Shara Bitachon, so the subject always comes up. She says she can't fathom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares if she finds a parking spot or not when she drives up to the shopping center. She can't, because we were talking about that. You have to give hodah, and you have to have bitachon, and you have to thank Hashem. She just can't come to grips with the parking spot. And Hashem, so I said, it's really a chisaron in understanding Hashem's godless, because for Hashem to take an interest in the world, that's why I said, okay, so Hashem doesn't care about your parking spot, let's say, but he cares about the existence of the world, of the earth, the whole planet earth. Is it going to blow up or not? Is it going to, yeah, that Hashem takes an interest in. But if we had any conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hakel, HaGodol, HaGibor, HaNora, and the multitude of worlds that exist, and the multitude of levels of Bria that exist, I don't know if you ever heard these words, there's Olam HaAtzilus, and Olam HaBria, and Olam HaYetzira, and Olam HaAsiya, and there's millions and millions of Malachim. So, like, for him to care about this planet Earth is really as inconceivable as HaKadosh Baruch Hu caring about the parking spot. In other words, it's really a flaw in having any type of concept about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godless and greatness and just awesomeness to think, well, the parking spot he doesn't care about, but he cares about if the world's going to, you know, collapse or not. It's just as removed from his essence. So that is what the Chavis HaLevavos says. That just has to increase the Hakaras HaTov, and therefore our avoda has to be based, like, so how could we not do his will? Like, that's the least we can do to pay him back for in response to this Hakaras HaTov we have to have. And then really, like, the key, if you want to walk around, Halashem Tigmuluzos Am Novol Velo Chacham Halahu As Avicha Konecha Hu Ascha Vayechonenecha. Where is that? Okay. Did you have to learn it by heart? Shiras Hazina? Okay. Shiras Dvori, you had to learn by heart? Okay, that's harder. Anyway, so that is really the fundamental pasuk, according to the Chavis HaLevavos, of life. So that's what he says in the Psicha. Okay, so everything's based on Avodas Hashem. So now in Perek Aleph, he says, why does Irving Linus have to come to Hadar for and give a shir? That's like such common sense. I explained it so beautifully in the Psicha. Why am I writing Shar Avodas Elokim? It's just plain, ordinary common sense. Any rational being, any person with Seichel would be an Oved Hashem, because of that feeling about Hakaras HaTov. So the Chavis HaLevavos says, unfortunately, we develop Seichel late in life, and we start off life, and we start and we grow up through childhood and through adolescence, and whenever it comes to an end, 60, 70 years old, we are creatures of, we want to fulfill our desires. We're not governed by our Seichel. We're governed by our desires, our taivas, our wants. We want to be comfortable. We want to be fed. We want to be warm. We want to be liked. We want people to hold of us. All of these things, we're motivated. We're not motivated by the seichel. Seichel comes much later in life, and by the time you develop your seichel, it's like it's too late. You know, you're behind the eight ball, as they say. And meanwhile, you've been also, another problem is that from, we're infants and we grow up and our parents give us things, and then we just have this hergish that it's coming to us because we're so used to getting it. So we have trouble being makir tov for pokeach ivrim and for malbish arumim and for matar asurim and for somech noflim and for rokah haaretz al hamoyim and, you know, We have trouble. We have trouble being makir tov because we're used to it. So when a person's used to something, it feels it's coming to me. So that's why the Chayyus Halbada says the seichel is bogged down. The seichel comes to a person too late in life to just rely on a person's common sense that they're going to do what they have to do. And therefore, the Chayyus Halbada says, I wrote this sefer. A person has to be inspired. A person has to be stimulated. A person has to think. The purpose, the Chayyus Halbada says, I want you to think. I'm going to stimulate you. Malinowitz is going to come to this Kadar, and he's going to talk. And some of you are going to be listening. Maybe most of you. Most of you. And you're going to be stimulated to think about these things. And the Seichel slowly, slowly will wake up and say, wait a second. Why do I have what I have? And why do I feel a sense of entitlement? Why should I have this? What did I do to deserve this? And so on and so forth. And that's why we can't just rely on the Seichel. That's what he says in Perek Aleph. That's why he had to write the Sefer, the Shar Avodas Elokim, in order to stimulate us to be Makir Tov and to react accordingly. That's Perek Aleph. In Perek, and then at the end of the Perek, he says, there are two stimulants in a person's life, in a Jew's life. Two stimulants. There's the logical stimulant, the seichel, which amidst Hashem will develop, and a person will develop the sense of Hakaras HaTov and want to be an Obed Hashem through that. And then there's the stimulant of Torah, that we have the rules, and we have to follow the rules, and you have to do this, and you're not allowed to do this, and this is the way a person should act, and this is the way a person... And the Torah guides us, and the Torah says, this is how I want you to act. You want to eat whatever you want. You can't eat whatever you want. You want to eat whenever you want. You can't eat whenever you want. I want to do this. I want to dress this way. I want to, you know, conduct my life a certain way. You can't. You can't. 365 lav and 248 assays. And that's the Torah. And that sets us on the right path too. That's in Perek Aleph. In Perek Beis, the Chayyus Halbada says that really... why did Hashem, this dual system of Heorah Sichlis, the Seichel Dika stimulant, and the Torah Dika stimulant is necessary because the Seichel is at the disadvantage that it comes late in life. The Guf is first. The person's always battling. The Seichel is always battling the Chumrius, the Gashmius. And so in Perek Beis, he gives three reasons why the Seichel is at a disadvantage. The seichel is at a disadvantage because it comes later in life. So the stronger, right? Like I said, you let the other team in Machanayim or whatever you play get on the field first. So and they give them 20 minutes alone. So they're going to run up the score. Then you're going to have a hard time catching up. So the seichel is later in life. Second of all, we're living in a world of gashmius. Everything in the world, we don't see ruchnius. We don't sense it. We have to, the world is Gashmi, everything. We have to eat, we have to get dressed, everything we have to do is all Gashmius. So the Chomer of a person, the Gashmi, is always being helped and aided and strengthened by the world, by everything around it. It has a lot of friends. And if it starts using the Seichel, so the Seichel, you know, what do I want to eat for breakfast? What do I want to eat for lunch? How am I going to get money? How am I going to get what I want? So, wow, like the goof starts using the seichel. That's not so good. And the third reason is the muscle and the exercise, that since we're always using our goof every second of the day, we're eating, we're breathing, we're sleeping, our goof is in constant use, the seichel schlaft, the seichel sleeping. So, like every muscle, when you exercise a muscle, it gets stronger. And when you don't exercise a muscle, it gets weaker. It's that way in our physical bodies, and it's that way in our being. And therefore, if we don't use the seichel, it gets flabby. It gets flabby. And the muscle called the chumrius and the taivus and the guf gets strong. So we have these three problems. So therefore, the Chayyus Halbada says at the end of Perek Beis, a person needs an outside source. A machayev from the outside imposed upon the person to pump up the person, to guide the person, to inspire the person, to teach the person values, to teach them right and wrong, to teach them self-control, that the name of the game is not to fulfill your desires, not to attain whatever you want to attain to be comfortable, not to satisfy our egos. That's not what it's all about. But there's something outside of us, because inside of us, we just went through the box scores, and one team is stronger than the other. So we need an outside force pumping up the seichel, pumping up the ruchnius of a person, and that's Torah. And now instead of the guf using the seichel has a weapon with which to use the guf. Right? I have to daven. I have to dress a certain way. I have to keep Shabbos. Oh, now the seichel starts using the guf. It starts fighting back. And that's why the Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was necessary, so to speak, to give the Torah and not just let everybody be like Avraham Avinu and just, you know, sit back and philosophize and be Maketov to Hashem and realize there's an Adon in the world and figure out how I should act and how I should be and what I should do. Just, you know, common sense, right? Like Avraham Avinu did it. So we all really should do that. We all, you know, that's what the Chazal says. Well, why aren't we all like Avraham Avinu? So it's not going to work. And that's why we have Ha'ora Toranis, and that's why Hashem gave us the Torah. Now, the Chavi Havodos further develops this in Paragimel, which happens to be where we're up to. Paragimel. In Paragimel, the Chavi Havodos asks the question that you've all been bothered by for all of these months now. What exactly is Avodas Elokim? And in two sentences, in two lines, in the Chayyus Halvavos, it's amazing. In two lines, he just captures the essence of being an Oved Hashem. And it's not about how long we daven, and it's not about how hard we shake, and it's not about all of the outer trappings of being from. That's not what it's about. We're going to learn why they are necessary trappings, because the essence can't develop, as we'll see. Otherwise, the essence wouldn't develop. But what's the essence? What is Avodas Hashem? Where Hashem's, like you say, an Eved HaMelech. I don't know, he brings the Melech breakfast. He brings the Melech breakfast in bed. He prepares the Melech's clothes, you know, like a good butler. So is that what we are? Is that Avodas Hashem? We're Hashem's butlers? We're Hashem's aides, right? AIDES, we're Hashem's helpers. That's we're Eved Hashem. You know, we think of an Eved. If everyone pictures an Eved, so an Eved, those things for the master. So for the king, for the master. So, that's absurd, right? So what is the essence? This is like the key question. In Paragimel, what is Avodas Elokim? I've been talking about Avodas Elokim now for two prakim and an introduction, the Chayyus Halvavos says. What is it? And he says it in one or two lines. He says it. Ach geder ha'avoda. She geder ha'avoda. What is Avodas Hashem? Is Kniya. Kniya. Kof nun yud ayin hey. Kniya. We call it humility. Maybe we know it more familiarly as anova, ayin nun vav hey. Kniya, being submissive. That's it. Being an Eved Hashem means it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. We're submissive to Hashem. What everything is all about. An Eved is nichna to the Adon. It's all about the Adon's ratzon, and that the Adon's ratzon should be fulfilled, not my ratzon. That's it. It's as simple and as complicated and as deep as that. The Kniya, I'm an Eved Hashem if I feel nichna, if I feel submissive to Hashem. Hashem is Okel HaGodol HaGibor VaHanora. Hashem is the reason for my existence. Hashem is Machaya Olamim. Hashem is everything. Hashem is everywhere and is everything and creates everything. And he's the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. Kniya, the feeling of submissiveness, the downgrading of the ego. It's not about me. It's a very difficult thing. We could pay lip service to it. But it's a difficult thing because we are who we are. And like the most we could do is, okay, I want to end up in Gan Eden. You know, it's again, me. You want to end up in Gan Eden because Hashem wants you to end up in Gan Eden. That's really, ideally, you know, this is the work of a lifetime. This is the work of a lifetime. But wherever, whatever Hashem wants us to do, we're not fulfilling, we're shluchim. This is what a shliach is. This is what an eved is. We're not here. The whole perspective has to change. I was talking, a couple came to me in my shul, and they were talking about where they should live. They want to move back to wherever, not Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they should they stay in Eretz Yisrael? And we were weighing the pros and cons. So we finally decided, okay, they're going to stay in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. They're going to live here. It's going well. And the woman turned and she expressed, she says, you know, really, Baruch Hashem, I feel great about this decision. We reached this decision because it's really good for my kids and it's really good to live here. And, you know, I'm happy that we worked out that we could manage it. And so I just, you know, I turned to her. I hope she didn't take it as mussar, but this is really something we have to keep in mind. I said, yeah, it's the Ratzon Hashem. You should think about that we've worked out in our discussion, in our back and forth, and seeing where they would lead a more fulfilling life to do the Ratzon Hashem. So you have to think that it's Hashem's will. If you are not able to look in the mirror, if you're not able to convince yourself with every ounce of sincerity that you could muster, right? Only you know what's, only you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not even the Malachim, know what's in your heart. Only you know what's deep down. If you, it's very, very hard. I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. I want to do Hashem's will. I'm here in this world to further Hashem's plan for me, for the world, for the universe, really. Right? Nefesh HaChayim develops that thought that everything we do has reverberations and a ripple effect on the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. But it's Hashem's will. And if I want to end up in Gan Eden, it's because Hashem created a world in which He made people because He wants to be mative, and He wants me to end up in Gan Eden because He wants to be mative. And I want to do His will. Very, very difficult. But that is Avodas Elokim, the Chavis Halvava says. Kenia, Chaf Nun Yud Ayin Hey. What we call Anova. Humility, submissiveness. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's what Hashem wants. It's fulfilling Hashem's will. Shegeder Ho Avoda, Kenias Mishimetivin Lo. Right, he connects this to Hakaras HaTov. It's, I have to pay back, I have to give, I have to do the will of the person that I owe so much to. Sheyigmalu, not I want to do his will because or else he's going to patch me. Not I want to do his will, why do I want to do his will for? Like, that's a very esoteric idea and it's very nice, but why should, Chavis wants you to want to do his will. He's not just telling you, you're going to do his will, got to be good girls, you're going to do his will, or else, the whole point of the Chayvus HaLavodos, the whole reason he wrote the Psicha, to Shara Avodos HaLakim, is you have to develop a Ratzon, just like if someone, if you've ever experienced someone doing you a favor, and you know, you really, the Teva Adam, we talked about this in previous weeks, Hashem created us, that we want to pay back, we don't... We have to give back. We feel meshubad. We feel we want to do something for the person that was so mative to us. So if you times that by a billion, and you think of Hashem's giving us all that He gives us, so we want to do His will. It's not just we're being told we have to. So the definition of Avodas Elokim is Kenia. The definition of Kenia is that we're submissive with Meshubad, we're submissive, we're humble, it's not about us, it's about doing Hashem's will. But the Chavis HaLavodos doesn't want you to have that because you're scared or because someone's telling you, well, that's it, that's life, you know, okay, okay, you know, I'm gonna fight City Hall. Because Allah just wants you to feel it in your kishkes that you want to do Hashem's will. That's the least you can do for Him. You would go nuts trying to pay back Hashem. Right? Al achas me'al of alfa yalom ribe yirbav aspamim atov ashal sisim of the sin of imanu. So that's where it should stem from. Now, that's the first two lines in Perek Gimel in Shaar Avodah Zavukim. But now he goes on to teach us and to point out a lomda shechilik, another piece of lomdas. This is your lucky night. He says there's really two types of kniya. There's two types of being meshubad, of wanting. There's two types. And really, I jumped the gun. He says there's one type where I'm going to do the other person's will because the other person, or in this case Hashem, but the Chavis Halvadas, by the way, parenthetically, throughout the Sefer, the Chavis Halvadas always uses examples of human relationships, of your relationship with your friends, with your parents, with a Talmud and a Rav. He always uses these examples because these are the relationships that we could relate to, that we can understand, that we can grasp. So it's like he always says, by a person you wouldn't act that way, so why are you acting that way with Hashem for? She says there's a type of kniya where you're nichna because the other person, in this case Hashem, will respond. The other person's going to give you a reward if you do his will. The other person's going to give you a punishment if you don't do his will. And therefore you have to live with that kniya because you're living anticipating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. And that's, right, so that's one type of kniya. A kniya because I know the other person will respond to how I act. So I have to bend to Hashem. You know, if I had my choice, if it was up to me, Shabbos. I have better things to do with my Shabbos than nothing. I have better things to do, right? If it was up to me, right? So I'm like a coiled spring. I really want to do what I want to do, but I'm nichna to Hashem. Maybe you could pass notes to each other instead of talking, because it's disturbing to talking, and passing notes wouldn't be so disturbing. I'm nichna to Hashem. I'm nichna to Hashem because I'm afraid of the response. So really I'm like a coiled spring. I really want to do my own rotzon. But I have the kniya, and that's also Avodas Elokim. I have the kniya because schar v'onish. So I have to accept doing Hashem's will because of that. And the Chavis Halvadas says a tremendous chiddush. He says, and that's really the superficial level of Torah is a schar v'onish document. And now he connects that to Heora Toronis that he talked about in Perek Beis. That the mahalach of life, of being stimulated and being inspired and being taught by Torah, this is what you have to do and this is what you can't do. And you're going to get a reward if you're good and you're going to get punishment if you're no good. That's a lower level of kniya. It's necessary. Don't jump and don't get excited. We're going to learn. He explains why it's absolutely necessary. And if you try to skip the step, you're going to fall and you're not going to succeed in life. And Chalila, it's terrible. And you can't skip the step. It's impossible. It's a stepping stone, but it's only a stepping stone. And it's not such a big chiddush. We'll see later, Mitzvah Hashem, the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, the famous Ramban, if it's not famous, it just became famous. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, very long Ramban, but that's really the essence of what the Ramban says too. If you look in the last two paragraphs of the Ramban and the Chumash, right, the Ramban, he says that Torah, mitzvahs, it's all about knowing Hashem and bonding with Hashem and having a relationship with Hashem. Except it's a stepping stone. We wouldn't know what to do. As we see in the Chavis Halvadas, we would, if we would just be Avram Avinu, we'd get lost. Because of the head start, our goof has over our seichel. So, the kniya tachtona, he calls it. The kniya tachtona, the lower level of kniya, the definition of kniya is that it's not about me, I'm doing the other person's will. But the kniya tachtona is that I have to accept Hashem's will, and that becomes the focus of my life because it's being imposed upon me, because of schar va'onish. And that connects to he'ora toranis, as he calls it, the Chavis Olavis. Then there's kniya elyona. Kniya elyona is really what I jumped the gun, and I described in the beginning of my description of Perek Gimel. Kniya elyona is when I want to do Hashem's will. I'm not a coiled spring wanting to do my own will, but there's an imposed will. There's a will being imposed upon me with a schar va'onesh dynamic. But I makir with my seichel. I have ahavas Hashem. I have yiras Hashem, or not fear. I have yiras haromamus. I have ahavas Hashem. I want to bond with Hashem. I want to be part of Hashem. I want to hook up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to hook up with the force that's the essence of all existence. Just like the malachim, right? I'm a chelek eloka mimal. And I want to make sure that my neshama, which is in some way, which we don't comprehend, is a chelek eloka, I want to connect it. Because I want to earn nitzchias and I want to bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How long am I in this world with my guf to do certain things, right? I want to make sure that my neshama, my essence, that's why the Chovas Halvavos, he wrote it because it's all about Chovas, the essence is Chovas Halvavos, as he writes in the Hakdamah to his Sefer. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, being aware of Hashem, knowledge of Hashem, being aware of how Hashem functions, of how Hashem works, what he likes, what he dislikes, so to speak. Ruchnius, bonding, a relationship. That this is what this is, and I want to be part of that. I want to bond with that, and that is kniya elyona. He says kniya elyona is when my ratzon, right? If you remember your Pirkei Avos, so you have asei ratzono kiratzoncha, and you have batel ratzoncha mipnei ratzono. He doesn't say this, but this is really two mandragas, two levels. I can do his ratzon, but I still have mine. Like I said, the coiled spring, but there's an imposition. Or I could be batel ratzon chamibnei ratzono. I could lose my ratzon. My ratzon is to do his ratzon. There's nothing inside of me that's pushing. There's no. I'm not at loggerheads with. I really, you know, if he would ignore me for like a couple of minutes, I would have a gishmak of time. But like, what can I do? He's always around, always looking. Right? No. I don't want anything else. I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. That is the greatest thing you can do. That is the most purposeful, meaningful thing that you can do with your life. And you develop that. How? You say how? Rabbono Shel Olam, what are you talking about? Through Hakaras HaTov, and that's why he wrote his Hakdomah, the Shara Avodas Elokim. That's how you will reach that madrega. If you think and contemplate the Tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us, you will be able to develop a sense of Hakaras HaTov, which will allow you to develop the Kniya Elyona as opposed to the Kniya Tachtona, because that is the natural reaction. That is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made human beings. That when they're Makir Tov and someone does something for them, Kol Shekein, if you go back to the Psicha, the Kal V'chomers of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows Tova upon us, like, wow, there's nothing I won't do for him. I don't know what to do. Like, tell me what you want me to do. Please, tell me. So then he makes the following link, the Chayvus Halbavus. This is all in the very, very first few lines of Perek Gimel, of Shara Avodas Elokim, in the very first few lines. Sha'ar Kniya Tachtona relates to Ha'ora Toranis, because Ha'ora Toranis is rules and regulations, and it doesn't matter if you feel like fasting on Yom Kippur or not. You gotta, or you're gonna get kares. And it doesn't matter if you want to be, if you want to be mechabed of the aim. You gotta, and I'll reward you if you do. L'man yivichin yomecha, right? And the Torah is essentially do's and don'ts on the superficial level, so to speak, superficial. And it relates to Kniya Tachtona. That's Ha'ora Toranis. But Kniya Elyona, he calls it. Yeah, I want to just bond with Hashem. I have Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem. Wow. That relates to Ha'ora Sichlis, not Ha'ora Toranis. So we have these two Maslulim, these two tracks. And now the Chovos HaLevavos spends Perek Gimel saying, from one perspective, he explains why the ultimate goal, maybe it takes a lifetime of work, but ultimately we want to reach Kniya Elyona, we want to reach Ha'ora Sichlis, and he goes through the Cheshbonos, very mathematical, the Chovos HaLevavos, giving seven reasons for the superiority of Ha'ora Sichlis over Ha'ora Toranis, of Kniya Elyona over Kniya Tachtona, because you might say, why? And many of you are thinking this. Hashem gave us a Torah, and I'm going to be a Yekeh, and I'm going to do everything it says in the Torah. I'm going to be the best soldier that this world have ever seen. I'm going to do every mitzvah, and I'm going to not do any lavin, and I'm going to obey everything. What in the world could be greater than that? What are you talking about? It sounds like a lumpy Christmas to me. Like what? But now think about Shabbos. Take one mitzvah, Shabbos, and think how you can go through a whole Shabbos and never think about what Shabbos means, and never think about the feelings that Shabbos is supposed to inspire us to be thinking about how Hashem made the world, and Hashem created everything, and the world is not Kadmon, and the world is really a world of Hashem, and that leads us to thinking that they're going to go, what's the world all about? And it reminds us of Mitzrayim, because we're not avodim to Paro, and we're not avodim to ourselves, and we're not avodim to our desires. We're avdei Hashem, below avdei Paro. Right? That's in the Dibros and Yisro, it talks about Kisheshis Yomim Aso Hashem Aso Shemayim Aso Oretz Aso Yom Yaskol Hashabon Bayonach Bayom Hashavi'i, and in Vos Hanan, it talks about Mitzrayim. Right? Vizokhar Tokevon, you were Abodim in Mitzrayim, and Shabbos, we're free. We don't have to work. We're not slaves. So you can go through a whole Shabbos, and you cannot do any malacha. And you can even make Kiddush, and you can even eat Cholent, and Yushalmi Kugel, and you haven't once thought about Hashem. You haven't once thought about that Hashem created the world. You've thought about sleeping, and Cholent, and you were careful not to move the pot on the blech, because you're not allowed to, right? And good girls, you're not going to move the plot and the blech when you're not allowed to. And you made sure that there's Shabbos toilet paper, because you're not allowed to. And you can go through a whole Shabbos, and you never once thought about Hashem. Who Hashem? What Hashem? What does Hashem have to do with Shabbos? Right? So that's it. That's what the Chovos HaLevavos is saying. Ha'ora Toranis, it is necessary. This is the Chovos HaLevavos now in Perek Gimel. It's a tremendously important Perek. The name of the game is V'zochar Tokiyev Yisub B'Mitzrayim V'Yiftachom Mibeis Avodim. The name of the game is Zochar Yisrael Shabbos L'Kadsho, right? Sheish Yisrael B'Mitzrayim V'Tziz Kom L'Achdecha V'Yom Ha'Shvi Shabbos L'Hashem Elo Kecha Lo Saz L'Chom Elocha Adovim Chavitecha Ti Sheish Yisrael B'Mitzrayim V'Tziz Kom L'Achdecha V'Yom Ha'Shvi Shabbos L'Hashem Elo Kecha Lo Saz L'Chom Elocha Adovim Chavitecha. Right? Mezuzah, how many times we pay? Oh, we kissed the mezuzah, we're so good. There's a mezuzah on the door. And we did you ever think about what the mezuzah is there for? How many times did you think about what the mezuzah is telling me about Hashem, about me, about my bias? Amazing. Open a sefer, achinuch, start with something. Mezuzah, bias, Hashem, me. Right? You can have the most beautiful mezuzah. So now the Chodesh HaGodesh says, I mean, I'll just use mezuzah as a marshal. He says, now, if your mezuzah's puzzle, right, and you don't have a kosher mezuzah, if you don't have the stepping stone, if you don't have Ha'orah Toronis, if you don't start with Kniya Tachtona, it's not going to work. You think you're going to think about Hashem from today till tomorrow. Hashem is smarter than us. And Hashem made a stepping stone called Ha'orah Toronis, Kniya Tachtona, Schar Va'onesh. And the Chavit HaVodos will explain, Mamash, explain why it's necessary, why it ain't going to work without that. It's not. But, that's not the goal. That's what the Ramban says, the same thing, the end of the bow. That's not the point. That's not the end zone. That's not the goal line. Right? Because you can go through a whole Shabbos and not think about Hashem. You can kiss the mezuzah. Hashem, what does Hashem have to do with this mezuzah? Okay, we'll continue next session.